blessing.
Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 391.
Thank you.
The portion to be read out of God's holy and precious word this afternoon can be found in the book of Acts, thereof chapter 10. But before we read that portion, we'll read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Acts 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey, and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending unto him as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill, and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called, and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius, and said, Behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for thee into his house, and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together, And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and, behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou wast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, and began from Galilee, after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people, and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness, that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, we have been enabled in this morning to hear thy word, and again in this afternoon are gathered round thy word, that word that shall never pass away. But what shall it profit us to be gathered round about it? But we have heard that when Peter did speak, then the Holy Ghost did fall on all them that heard the word. Oh, then it was profitable unto them, and then it received a place in their hearts that it receives not by nature. Oh, we can only beseech it of thee that thou, who art the same yesterday, today, and forever, mayst also remember us and our dear children. For thou hast said, I will be as the dew unto Israel, and he shall grow as the lily. O, when thou comest in thy gentleness unto thy chosen people, And when thou dost descend with thy Holy Spirit to give, to know that the Lord lives, and to give the impressions of His majesty, of His greatness, and also of His goodness, and of His mercy, and of His love. Oh, could it please Thee to fill us with a sense thereof? For when a man would be without such a sense, and then be confronted with all his iniquity, and then it can only be that he will flee as those did from Sinai. Oh, that thou mayst remember us, O Lord, for we are those who are by nature walking in the midst of this world with a heart that is conceived in sin and born in iniquity. And thou knowest even from our side that it is required that there will never be a change, and for our heart that is set on all the world, and it is set on sin and all that is carnal, so that there is no desire, so that there is no longing, no panting, and no yearning after Thee, our Maker and our Creator. Oh, that has to be given unto us for the first time and also by renewal. O Lord, that Thou mayst do it also in this in the days in which we do live with our children. O that we may be given also that need in our heart to be washed and to be cleansed, and that we might see and feel the greatness of our wretchedness and of our misery. For we have heard it also out of Thy holy word, and what God hath cleansed, call not Thou common. Oh, then it is that same cleansing that we stand in need of. We and our dear children, and both the youngest to the oldest, when Thou wilt wash us, O Lord, then we shall be clean. Oh, that Thou mayst give such a sight unto those who do feel something of their wretchedness and of their filthiness, of their guilt and of their pollution, that they may be given eyes to behold that blessed Mediator in all His mediatorial engravings, and that He may be shown to the blessed eye of faith, that it may be given by that Spirit to take hold of Him, and that they may receive a little of that peace and that rest that passeth all understanding, and that Thou may give such a faith in the life of Thy dear children. And Thou knowest where that they are. They often do not know who they are themselves. They know not anything so often. But Lord, that Thou mayest visit them with Thy Spirit from above, with a blessing out of Thy heavenly store, with an eye to see Thee. For when they see Thee, and then everything else disappears. And then there is only joy, and there is only gladness, and then there is only peace. Oh, that Thou mayst give it for a moment, Lord. For Thy church are they that do so cleave to a covenant that is so utterly broken, and that is not able to give unto them the least comfort. Oh, that they may be given once again by renewal to see Thee, that Thou mayest look for a moment through the lattice, and that they may receive a little of that blessed faith that comes alone from Thee, that is a gift of God, and that is experienced by Thy church to be so time and time again. O, that Thou mayest give more to enter into that church. It is a church militant. It is a church that is in a warfare, and they are often weary in that warfare, and yet it is the only happy people upon this world. Oh, that Thou mayest give a desire to be counted among that number, that Thou mayest give a seeking in the midst of us amongst young and old, to take heed to Thy word, that those who seek me early shall find me. Oh, that Thou mayest show the vanity that is in this world, and that everything that we do seek after by nature is passing away, and that cannot give unto us that happiness and that only comfort in life and in death. Oh, that there may be a drawing, Lord, after Thee, after Thy holy word and all Thy institutions, that our hearts may be made soft, that they may be broken, and that we may be given to weep tears of godly sorrow for all of our iniquity, that we continually transgress against Thee. Do remember all the needs and the cares that are in this life, which are multiplied because of our own sin, and that Thou may remember and help the needy, those that have crosses that are hidden from others and that are often forgotten by others. Lord, wilt Thou not forget them? And wilt Thou give a secret place also in the inner chamber before Thee, and that all the needs may be laid at Thy footstool, who art able to take them up, and who art able to hear and to answer prayer. And Lord, that Thou may give in the lives of our children and our youth, in the days while they are still young, to seek their Creator, that they might be kept from all the sin that is in this world, wherein Satan does draw their young hearts after him, which ends in a sure destruction. Oh, that they may, that Thou mayest show it to them in the days of their youth. Oh, that they may be given desires after the portion, the blessed portion, which Thou dost give unto all Thy people. For that shall not be a vain desire, and they shall never seek Thee in vain. Wilt Thou look upon us as a congregation in all the needs and the cares, the sick, the afflicted, those that are old, her that lies in the hospital? Wilt Thou visit her also in this day? And wilt Thou supply when she must also receive surgery? Remember those that bring Thy word, and we may acknowledge Thee for all that Thou hast given unto the students in this past season, and in this past week when they may be examined by the curatorium, and when Thou hast made all things so very well. Oh, that Thou mayest instruct them continually, and each and every one of us. Wilt Thou help them also when they do go forth in on Thy Sabbath days, and one for the first time in this Thy holy day, to bring Thy precious word. Oh, that Thou may help them together, and that Thou mayest give them freedom and liberty and instruction, and that all together Thou mayest instruct us that we might instruct others, and that Thou wouldst keep us from leading and from going in a wrong way, and that Thou mayest remember all that bring Thy word also upon the mission fields, Thy servant there, and all those that are persecuted for the sake of Thy name. Remember those that do miss their loved ones in all that has taken place in these past weeks and continues to this very day, that thou mayest uphold them in all that thou bringest upon them, and that thou mayest lead all together unto thy footstool, for this life is not the end, but thou hast a purpose to bring in thy church and to bring them home to thee, where they may live eternally with thee. Oh, that we also, each and every one, may not make this place our home, but that our hearts may be continually set upon that treasure which is in the heavens, and that thou who dost sit there may be most precious unto each and every one of us, that we might learn to forsake this world and all the former friends, and that we might learn to look after that which is coming. Oh, that we also in this hour may receive an undeserved blessing out of thy heavenly store. Oh, that thou mayest come down, Lord, and that thou mayest help us to give us strength, to give us wisdom, to give us clarity, that all may be given understanding in the mind, but that thou wouldest also touch all of our hearts together, that thy Holy Spirit may fall on us also who bring and who hear the word, and that thy name may therein receive all the glory, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter 210, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. To God will I direct my prayer, and he will make my needs his care. I trust him still, though in my grief no answer yet has brought relief. With hands stretched out through all the night, uncomforted, I sought for light. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 210. congregation, the words of our text for this afternoon hour can be found in the portion that was read to you from Acts 10, and thereof the second part of the fourth verse. Acts 10, verse 4, the second part. And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. So far, the words of our text. The prayers of Cornelius come up before God. First, from whom these prayers come up? And second, to whom these prayers come up? The prayers of Cornelius come up before God, first from whom, and second to whom these prayers come up. Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Is that not, congregation, a great wonder? Because what does it speak about? It speaks about communion, that is, communion between a creature and his creator. That is one of the most wonderful things that belong to the human nature above what belongs to the animal nature, and that is that there is the ability to have communion, to speak between God and a man. That is, not because merely that man was created in the image of God in the narrow sense, that is, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, but also that he was created in the image of God in the wider sense, in the broader sense. That is, that he has a rational mind, and that he is, in that sense, able even to have such a communion with God. Prayer that is the one side of that communion. That is the side of the communion that comes from man and that goes unto God. Do you pray? We all pray. Children, you pray too, I think. But now the question, do our prayers come up before God? You say, maybe that is the question that lives in my heart. I have prayed for many years. Some of us are climbing in years and have come many times to God's house and have many times folded our hands and bent our knees. And maybe you say, I have no answer. That question that lives sometimes in my heart. Does the Lord hear when I pray unto him? What do we read here? Cornelius. That is this man's name. And this word that is directed unto this man. Thus, our text that is speaking about the other side also of that communion. Not only of that which goes from man unto God, but here it speaks about what the Lord has spoken unto a man, that he has directed it to a man in particular. Cornelius, would that not be a wonder? If you may now receive that side of that blessed communion, And if we may know from heaven that our prayers come up before God, who is Cornelius. We read he was a certain man in Caesarea. He was a centurion of the band that was called the Italian band. Thus, in the first place, he was not a Jew. He was not of the stock of Israel, but he was a Roman man. He was of a band. A band is 1,000 soldiers. And he, as a centurion, was over 100 of those soldiers of the Italian band, because that band was probably from Italy. And what do we read about Cornelius? We read he was a devout man, one that feared God with all his house. That is something. Why is that something? In the first place, it is something because he was a Roman. Thus, he was not brought up in the fear of the Lord. It is always a greater wonder if a man fears the Lord, if he is not brought up under the truth of the Lord. And why is that a greater wonder? Because the natural means that the Lord is using, well, they are missing. Often we so little appreciate the means that the Lord gives. We use those means in a common way, in a rote way, and without any desire. But those means are so very, very important. There are so many, many in this world that miss those means. How does the Lord convert Cornelius? In a providential way. Then it is probably that Cornelius, he is brought into contact with the children of Israel. Because he is placed as this Roman centurion, he is placed in the land of Israel. So he is a soldier, and that is stationed in Palestine. Thus the Lord brings him to dwell among his own people. And when he may dwell among his own people, then he may hear the language that is spoken by his people. And then the heart of Cornelius that is drawn to this. And why is it drawn to this? Well, that heart of Cornelius, that is a heart that is the same as yours and mine. It is a heart that is created by the Lord. And it was a heart that also was a son of Adam. He was of the human nature. And then there is something in that human nature that is lacking because of the fall. All man feels that everywhere in this world. And then there is an attempt to worship something that is different from the animals. Children, do the animals try to worship? Say, no. Why not? The animals have no soul. That is not in the animals. But man, everywhere, man, he tries to worship. And he tries to fulfill something that he feels is lacking. And now Cornelius, he had also a religion. Then he was also brought up in a religion. And all the gods and all what he served, that did not fill his heart. It could not. Why? Because those idols, whatever that religion was, they were dumb. They had eyes, but they could not see. They had ears, but they could not hear. Neither could they speak through their throat. Or if he worshipped the sun, then how far away was the sun? Could the sun hear him, children? Could the sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets, could they answer the prayers of Cornelius? Could they satisfy the longing, the need of the soul of a mortal man? No. Cornelius, he is still missing. Cornelius, the heart of Cornelius has never received, but the heart of every single man, woman, boy, and girl in this world needs to receive. Everything was empty. Everything was dead. How is that with us? How is that with us? We also have a religion. We also go through this world. And now we also try to worship. Has anything ever filled that heart that is created in the image of God and who is now lacking God? And then we try to find it, young people, in all the world. Did you ever feel something of the disillusionment? Did you ever feel something of the emptiness of all of the gods that are in this world? Even as Cornelius, there was nothing of this world that has filled his empty soul. One that feared God with all his house. A soldier's life that is never an easy life. A soldier has to experience many hardships. Often that life is a very rough life. We need soldiers. It is necessary that also our government would raise and maintain an army for the protection of our land. But it is not easy to be a soldier. No, it is especially not easy to be a soldier and to fear the Lord. Why not? Because a soldier, he is often in contact with the ungodly in this world. Oh, so often, young people, when there are young people that go off into the army, then they are affected by all those that are around them. Oh, then you need strength. Then you need courage. Then you need a foundation in your life. Will you remember that? If you are called to such a service or any other service in the midst of this world, wherein you are being placed in such a way with all the ungodly that are in this world, will you remember Cornelius? Cornelius, who was also surrounded with all such kinds of persons, and yet that he feared God with all his house. All his house. What was that house? That household, a wife, children, household servants, perhaps. We are not told everything. But we do see the influence. He feared God with all his house. Do we also stand at the head of a house? Do we stand at the head of a business? Are we an employer? Do we stand at the head of a classroom? Do we stand at the head of a church? Do we stand at the head of state? Then we have especially a responsibility, because we see the influence that the head of a household may have on that household. Then he is there to lead. Then he is there to set an example to everyone that the Lord is placing under his hand. and that the Lord is so often using such a person who is at the head that others may also follow him. What does the bride pray? She prays, draw me, we will run after thee. That is so true. Oh, she says, when my heart will be drawn, and when I will run after thee, then there are also others around me. There are the daughters of Jerusalem. There is the rest of the church. Oh, then they will also receive a benefit when thou wilt draw my heart. That is so true. Oh, think of Ruth. Think of Naomi. And how that Ruth was drawn by that example. You say, surely not by the afflictions, and she had so many. No, it was that example under the afflictions that may draw Ruth unto that God of Naomi, a devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. Alms, what are alms? Alms, that is help for the poor. Much alms. That is now what the Lord works. That is pity for the poor. That is even in a rough soldier. And that is pity for the poor who are strangers to you. Because Cornelius is here not at home. No, he is away from home. He is far from home. He is in Caesarea, which was in Palestine. But he had love. He had love for this people. This people who were strangers to him and to his house. That is what the Lord does. We read it in the Bible, it is love for the brethren. And when we hear of those poor and that they are called to help, then it is especially they of that household of God. Oh, he is not one of that people, but he is given a love for the God of that people. And then not only for the God of that people, but then at the same time, a love for that people themselves. That is the fruit of regeneration. Much alms. Oh, he is ready to lack in order that those may be helped that lived in his heart, in the new heart. And that came forth in his life, in the service of the Lord God of Israel. Oh, the Lord, he gives a man to feel something. We can read how also at the time of Pentecost, that no man called his things his own, then he was ready to share them. He says, they all come from the Lord, and I have plenty, and I will help now those who do not have enough. Does that live also in our heart? And so we have a description of Cornelius, a devout man, a man who feared God with all his house. And the fruits, they are made evident in his almsgiving. And yet there is one more thing. You know what it is, children? You say, we skipped something. Oh, there is still one more thing that it says here about Cornelius. Do you know what it says? It says, who prayed to God always. Thus, Cornelius, he is also a praying man. Are you a praying man? Are you a praying boy? Are you a praying girl? When you were young, than your father and your mother. They have taught you to fold your hands and to close your eyes and to be reverent when you pray. You still do that, young people? You still do that? You still bend your knees in the morning? You still bend your knees in the evening when you go to bed? When you eat, even if other persons are around, you still do that? Are you a praying young person? Maybe there are some also that at other times, not only in the morning and in the evening, but maybe there are some times those that need to go in a secret place and that need to unburden their heart unto the Lord. He was a praying man. No, Cornelius was not taught this by his mother and father. Because Cornelius was not taught about that true God. He was not taught to pray unto the true God. And yet we read, he prayed to God always. Oh, it is so sad. When a man is not taught to pray by father and mother, but do we realize how many persons that are here right in our community? How many of these children that are playing here on these sidewalks every day, how many of them have never been taught in their life? Young people, children, they were never taught, some of them in their life, to bend their knees, to fold their hands, to close their eyes, and to pray. Can you imagine? That is an awful thing. How is it then that we read here that Cornelius prayed to God? Who taught him that then? You say the Lord taught him that? That is right. The Lord taught him that. Oh, how necessary that is. Even if our father and mother have taught us to pray, how necessary it is that the Lord is teaching a man to pray. In the Bible, we read that Cornelius prayed to God always. What does that mean? He prayed to God always. That means continually he prayed to God. That is not just once or twice, but it means that he continued over and over and over again. Cornelius prayed to God. What does that mean? Well, that means that Cornelius did not receive an answer from the Lord immediately. Do you know what that is? To pray and not to receive an answer from the Lord? How long have you been praying? Have you received yet an answer from the Lord? We do not know how long that Cornelius prayed. But we do know that it is not a strange thing in the life of the Church of God that they do not receive an answer right away. How long did Abraham have to wait before he received his answer from the Lord? 25 long years. Before the Lord came to fulfill his word unto Abraham. Indeed, Abraham, he even stopped praying. Why did Abraham stop praying? He stopped because he did not think that the Lord heard him anymore. Actually, he thought that he was praying wrong, that he thought now that he has Ishmael, well, he has already received that promised seed, but actually was only the work of his own hands. Oh, that is so often in the life of God's church. Oh, that the work of their own hands that is now fulfilling for a time. So then those prayers, they are ceasing. Oh, it can be so discouraging when the Lord does not answer the prayers of a man. It can be so discouraging when the time becomes longer and longer. But do you know what we read here? We read that Cornelius did not stop praying. No, that he prayed to God always. Will you do that, congregation? When there is no answer to your prayer, then will you remember Cornelius? And will you remember to pray always? What do you think Cornelius prayed for? Really, what did Cornelius need? Did Cornelius lack anything? Did he lack food and drink and clothing and shelter that he continued to pray unto God always? No. Cornelius was very well off. Cornelius had plenty. He had health and strength and prosperity, and with all that he had, he was able even to help those who did not have. Thus, that was a man who had all that his heart could wish and desire in this world. What happens to the prayers of a man by nature who has all the things that he can possibly desire and wish for in this world? Does such a man continue to pray always? Maybe in a form. But here we speak about what the Lord says of a man. That he is continuing to pray always. Is that what takes place? You say no. No, when he has everything he needs, then those prayers, oh, they begin to diminish. Then we begin to let up somewhat. Oh, then we forget sometimes, and slowly on, then it becomes less and less. So what was it? What was it which Cornelius was praying for? So that he has continued to pray always. Maybe there are some of us here that can help to give this answer. Some that also perhaps continue to pray always. You love the Lord, you love His day, you love His house, you love all His institutions, His service is a delight, and actually in this world the Lord has blessed you so that you have everything that your heart could wish in this world. You say, actually in this world I lack nothing. But food, you have drink sufficient, you have clothing, you have shelter, and you have great prosperity. And you can say, even maybe, your heart, oh, that is inclined. You say, I cannot deny that it is inclined also to help those who do not have as much as I have. And yet, Do you continue to pray? Why? What do you lack? Do you lack then something? Amidst all this life that the Lord has given to you, such great plenty in this world, is there still something then that only the Lord can give you that still draws you to your knees time and time again, so that sometimes you have to leave what you are doing, so that sometimes you are drawn to a secret place, and that you must lay that all again, and that you say, oh Lord, how long? What is it? Do you understand, Cornelius, when it says here that he continued to pray, that he prayed always, there was something missing. There was something missing in that life of Cornelius with everything that he possessed. The Lord gave him the fear of his name. The Lord gave him the love of the people of the Lord in his own heart. But where did he live? Oh, that people of Israel. Do you know what that people of Israel taught him? Do you know what he received from that people of Israel? He received the law of Moses. The law of Moses. Oh, concerning that people of Israel, he was an outsider. He was not one of them. No, he was a man uncircumcised. But there was much more. Because now the God of that people of Israel, that was not his God. He missed this. Indeed, that law of Moses, that could do nothing for him. Or his conscience, that still spoke. There was guilt. He had to walk with that guilt. Each and every day, he did not have that peace. That peace that his soul longed after. Not only did he not have it, but he did not know how to receive it. Israel spoke of a Messiah. They spoke about that Messiah that was to come. Oh, but he did not know who he was. He was ignorant of that Messiah. Thus, with all that he is given, oh, Cornelius, he is still unreconciled. There is still that same great missing at the very bottom. That same great missing is still there. He did not receive it from all the religion of the Romans. It left yet his heart empty. Oh, he feels something, that there is something different here. Oh, there is substance here. There is treasure here. He is drawn after it, but he does not know what it is. And prayed to God always. Are there those that understand Cornelius? That are still waiting, and that are still bowing their knees and folding their hands and praying to God? Let us sing from Psalter 272, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, hear my prayer. And let my cry have ready access unto thee. When in distress to thee I fly, O, hide not thou thy face from me. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 272. Our second thought, to whom these prayers come up. One day, Cornelius receives a visit. No, not from a man. He receives a visit from an angel. Fearful, would we be afraid? Cornelius was indeed afraid. And he said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said unto him, "Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God." Is that not a wonder? When he sees and feels something of the majesty of God, when he can only expect from his own side that there is wrath against him from the Lord, then he receives a message from heaven, a message that is of great comfort. Are you jealous of that man? How will it be for us when we come to stand before that great majesty of the Lord? Is it then going to be a message of wrath, or will it be a message of comfort? Cornelius was assured that his prayers were come up unto God. What does that mean? There is a reference here to the incense altar. You know what that is, boys and girls? In the temple, in the tabernacle, then there was an altar of incense, and the fire was taken off of the brazen altar and put on that incense, and put on that altar of incense, and then the incense was placed on those coals, and the smoke went up into heaven. Then there is a reference here. He says, thy prayers, they are come up. They are ascending. And he is assured that they have gone higher than the roof. They have gone out of the atmosphere. They have gone all the way up into the high heavens, the third heavens. They have come up even unto God, in the place where God is dwelling. Oh, a picture. Why? Because that is the way that it is. Oh, Cornelius was perhaps so many times discouraged. Perhaps Satan has said to him so many times, stop praying. And he could not. And he did not. And now Cornelius is assured that these prayers have been heard. The Lord has seen it all, and the Lord has heard it all. And now is the time that the Lord is going to come to give an answer to the prayers of Cornelius. Thus Cornelius, he did not wait in vain. No, there shall no one, the Lord says, I am the Lord, and those shall not be ashamed, he says, that wait for me. And send now men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou shalt do. Why did the Lord have him send to Peter? Who is Peter? Peter is an apostle of the Lord. Peter has an office. Peter has been commissioned by the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter has been anointed by that Holy Spirit to do what? To do what? Oh, he was anointed to bring a name. He was anointed to preach a name. That is the name of the despised Nazarene. Has Cornelius ever heard of that name? The name of Jesus? Oh, certainly. Peter says that later. That word, he says, ye know, which was published throughout all Judea, how Jesus of Nazareth was anointed by the Holy Ghost and went about doing good, and how they slew him and hanged him on a tree. No, he was not ignorant of these things. Do you know what he did not know? He did not know what it all meant. He did not know that Jesus of Nazareth, whom they slew and they hanged on a tree, he did not know that it was he who was prophesied from the beginning. He did not know that this was the Messiah. that was to come? No, he did not know these things. But he must know these things. He must know them. Why? Because, congregation, if we have not Christ, we have nothing. We have nothing. Cornelius had to experience that. Even though he loved the Lord, he feared the Lord, and even though he gave much alms unto the people, all that is from the Lord, and yet he missed. He missed that most important thing. Oh, we cannot be saved by the law of Moses. No, that law is too short. That is what the regenerated church of God must learn. That it is all too short. Send men to Joppa. And call for one Simon whose surname is Peter. Children, the Lord sent an angel from heaven to speak to Cornelius. Why did that angel not speak to Cornelius about the Lord Jesus? Why did the angel not preach the name of the Lord Jesus to Cornelius? He did not. Peter says elsewhere why. He says that the gospel is something that the angels, that is the holy angels, they have a desire to look into. That is the mystery of the gospel. That is something that is actually, not objectively, but subjectively, that is not given to the angels, the holy angels. Why not? Why not? They do not need it. They have a righteousness. They have a righteousness that is their own. It is a righteousness which they may bring forth. They have never sinned. Thus, it is a righteousness by that first covenant. And that first covenant says nothing about the need for a mediator. They cannot feel that. They cannot come into the misery, into the need of that fallen people. No, the Lord says, send to Joppa. You say, that is to a man, Peter, who was a sinner. That was a man who had made great mistakes. That was a man who had denied Christ, who had to be rebuked by the Lord Jesus, who had to be rebuked by the Apostle Paul for his dissimulation. And the Lord says, send men to Joppa. The Lord will have his name to be preached by a man who will experience the need for this mediator. Oh, do you see whom the Lord sends out into his vineyard? Oh, they are not good people. They are men who have sinned against the Lord. They are men to whom that name of Christ has become altogether lovely, who have a desire to lift up that name also to those who have sinned against the Lord. Send now men to Joppa. And you know the history. That was a day and a half journey. And then they called Peter. And what do we read of Peter? We read that Peter went with them without gainsaying as soon as he was called. Well, he said, that is good. That is the way it ought to have been. That Peter went with them. He did not argue. No, as soon as he was called, then he went. Right, children? He said, no. Wait a moment. Wait a moment. Then you skip a big part. It is true he went. And it is true he went willingly. As soon as he was called, but something happened before that. Yes. Oh, we have no time to go into that now. You know what that history is, right, children? We read it. You can read it again at home. Great sheet from heaven, the vision of Peter. Great sheet, all unclean animals. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, no. Not so, Lord, for I've never eaten anything that is common or unclean. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. Three times, vessel taken back up into heaven. What does that mean? Oh, Peter. He preached. You can read that on Pentecost. The sermon of Peter. Did Peter know? Did he know that the Gentiles now were going to be brought into the church of God? Sure he knew it. Do you know what they did not know? They did not know how. They did not know the manner. And it seems that they thought that it would come yet through Judaism. Through that circumcision. And now the Lord, he takes away that objection. The Lord says, no, Peter, that New Testamentical church that is going to be received directly by me. And so Peter is instructed. And so Peter goes. He is made willing. Oh, do you see how the Lord is taking away the objections? Everything that stood in the way that Cornelius may be instructed, also what stood in the way of his servant to come unto him. Oh, the Lord, he is able to take away all of these objections. What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And now that is what Peter, he goes with. From that house, he goes with those men, and he goes now to Caesarea, into the house of this uncircumcised man. And now this is what Peter may bring to this man. This is what this man, Cornelius, so missed. This was what was lacking. Or he was still an unclean man. Peter may declare it. Outside of him, Cornelius, then you will remain ever unclean. But what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And now Peter may bring to this man this name of this despised Nazarene that was hung upon that cross by his own people, the Jews. He may bring the name of this man as an ambassador sent by the Lord to him, give all the prophets witness that through this name whosoever believeth in him shall receive the remission of sins. Oh, what was that? For Cornelius. With all the love that has been put in his heart and all the guilt that still remained in his life. Oh, what was that for Cornelius? To hear for the first time in his life of that one name that was given under heaven among men, whereby that we must be saved. Then there was food, then there was drink for this Cornelius. Remission of sins. Oh, that is what Cornelius needed. Cornelius, who was not able through that law of Moses to take away his own sin. Oh, how his attention was brought and how his soul was brought to eat and to drink of that which the Lord gave him in this hour. Whosoever. What does that mean for Cornelius? Oh, he is on the outside of that people, that blessed people, the people of the Lord. He has not that God for his own God, with all that he felt in his heart. And now, Whosoever believeth in his name. Oh, for a moment Cornelius is included in it. Why? Because the Lord opens his heart. And that Spirit of the Lord we read, that did fall upon him. Oh, then he may experience in his life, in this moment, what faith is. That it may receive that blessed Savior. Oh, that it may be as a sponge to soak him up. That there was nothing in the whole world, there was no name in the whole world that is able to give this peace unto his soul. Then he may experience it for just a moment when the Lord reveals unto him that only way of salvation. Oh, then it is in that moment, not only for others, but also for Cornelius, the remission of his sins through his name, for whosoever believeth in him. Oh, congregation, this moment that is laid away, that is laid away for that church of God. Who is that church? They are not those who may declare themselves to be that church. That is not what Cornelius could do. Cornelius, he was for himself on the outside of it. But what does the Bible say? He prayed away. Oh, congregation, is there people here? We had pray always. And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. That is the same for every single one of that praying people, without exception. Do you know what they think sometimes? The Lord does not hear it because the time is long. Sometimes they think, maybe I do it wrong. Maybe I have to do it the way that the rest of Christianity does it. Maybe I just have to take it. No. No, that is not so. You know what the Lord says? He says, thine prayers, they are come up for a memorial. What is a memorial? You have a memorial, boys and girls? I have some memorials in my house. A few pictures. My father, three brothers. They are gone the way of all the earth. What is a memorial? Why do I have them there? Oh, I would like to remember them. They are not here. You have that too, I think. Maybe your grandfather, children, or your grandmother, a little picture. That is a memorial. What does it help you to do? It helps you to remember, to remember. And now what does the Lord say? He says, thy prayers, they are come up as a memorial. To help me, as it were, reverently speaking, to remember. Does the Lord need help to remember? No. The Lord never forgets. Just a picture for us ignorant people that we might know who God is and what God is doing for the sake of his people. And because the time is long, the Lord says, I have laid those prayers there in heaven. I've laid them by me that I may remember that that is where they are. You see them? They are in their barn. She is in the kitchen. He is in a room. And they are there. And the Lord says, I remember. When the time is long, and when you think that I have forgotten, but can a mother forget her sucking child? That she would not have compassion upon the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, but I will not forget, because those prayers, they are laying there, and they have come up off of that altar of incense. They are cleansed. They come up off of that coal, off of that altar, off of that brazen altar, the sacrifice of my dear son. Oh, they come up to me in the name of my dear son, and I will never forget them. The time is coming that I am going to say, send to Joppa, and that I am going to have my name, the name of my dear son. I'm going to have him declared unto that praying people. I'm going to have him declared to that missing people. And in that day, that people are going to rejoice as they have never rejoiced before. Oh, wait. Wait, people. Praying people, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Oh, Lord, it is thy word. It is not our word. It is thy word. Make it true, Lord, to that people. Thou knowest where they are. Oh, visit them, Lord, in their inner chamber, where thou art so near. Oh, give them to feel something of thy great compassion unto a wretched, a miserable, a poor, and an undeserving sinner. Oh, preach, Lord, preach out of thine own word to such people, thy dear son. Oh, give them to see him who is so gracious that it is as wide as the ocean, where all the sin, all the iniquity, all the shortcomings, and that is cast into and will never be found again. Oh, do it, Lord, for thy name's sake. We may acknowledge thee for thy help in this afternoon hour again. Oh, forgive. all that was sinful in speaking and in listening. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Help us in the week to come, the consistory in our meeting, each one in our place in this world, the last week of school for the children. Give patience, give help with all the exams, also those in the universities, be on the right and on the left. Her that must receive surgery, make it well, for Jesus' sake. Amen. 228, all the stanzas. Lord God of hosts, in mercy, my supplication hear. Almighty and all faithful, our Father's God, give ear. Our shield and great defender, no longer hide thy face, but look upon thy servant, anointed by thy grace. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 228. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.